We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Attention. Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention?
Sage Rosenfels, the official Tuesday morning quarterback on the Dan Bernstein Show.
Nick Foles has been there and done it. He's won a Super Bowl. He's won playoff games. He's won a lot of big football games. He's played in a lot of games in his career. He is a much better down-the-field thrower.
Longtime football observer.
We grew up with a little 19-inch black and white. I don't even know if it was 19 inches. It might have been 12 inches or something. Black and white TV that had four channels. We basically watched the black and blue division. My dad's from Chicago. All we basically watched were Vikings, Packers, Bears, Packers.
12 years of NFL experience.
Rosenfels with the ball. The bootleg. Fake the pass. Dives for the end zone. And in for the touchdown. Sage Rosenfels, brilliant on that first drive.
Goat of the preseason.
It's a specialty.
Sage Rosenfels, breaking down every start by Bears quarterback Nick Foles with Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Sage Rosenfels is on Twitter at Sage Rosenfels. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, and you should be checking us out on Twitch and watching this video feed. It is twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. What's going on, Sage? How are you?
I'm doing fine. Looks like winter is on the horizon here. I think it's going to be like 55 degrees on Thursday. So I'm not looking forward to that. I've enjoyed this sort of late summer weather. So that's pretty much what's up with me. And again, per my usual Tuesday morning, just rewatched the Bears offense. And saw some good things and also saw some things, as we all saw, you know, 240 yards of offense is not something that really excites you. So obviously this Bears offense does have some issues.
They got to unlock it. And I ranted last week about this offense, about you know, there's no excuses now. Here's you got your quarterback who knows the system. You hired every offensive coach. You have your offensive line and your tight end position supposedly solved. Why can't it unlock itself? Matt Nagy keeps saying details, details, details. Is it about details? Is he right about that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm seeing fairly good details when I see the routes being run. You know, there's always probably some upfront things with the offensive line that does struggle. But for me personally, as I watch this team, and you put any quarterback into a system where they run for 35 yards, it's going to be hard to play quarterback in that system. It's going to be hard to push the ball down the field when the defense is not scared of the run at all. There's no play action. So, you know, I've said to people, the hardest thing to do, if you had a list of types of plays and offense runs, okay, running the ball is the easiest. You sort of control the outcome if you're good at it. There's no tip passes. There's no protection issues. You can run the ball. You can run the ball. So that's like number one. The second thing, the simple bootleg stuff off of those runs. Third thing, probably play action or the quick game, three-step drops. Get the ball out. You know, the hardest thing to do, shotgun, drop back pass. It is the hardest thing to do for an NFL offense. Because the defensive line, they're such great athletes. And when you don't have any running game, they can just, as they say, pin their ears back and get after the quarterback, which means your quarterback's just not going to have any time, which means he can't push the ball down the field. So this offense is not explosive at all. because they have no running game. They have no really threat to the defense that way. And then they don't do almost any play action. And when they do, it almost always works. They came out in this game fairly early, throw a play action, sort of they call it a skinny post, but it's basically a deeper slant to Allen Robinson, gets 20 yards, boom. They don't go back to anything like that for the rest of the game. I feel like I've said this now for a couple years on this show. When they do play action, for more often than not, it works. Sometimes it's down the field. Other times they play soft zone and he hits David Montgomery in the flat for a check down for 5 or 6, 7 yards. That works too. If they take away the deep stuff, throw it short. So the offense of not having the ability to run the football, which it could be players, it could be scheme, it could be a mix of things. It probably is a mix of those two things. But when you have no running game, it's just hard to have a passing game where you're threatening the defense vertically because they're just not scared based off of the pass protection issues.
It looked so bad to start. He on the 3rd and 2 to Robinson, he throws it 10 feet over his head. There was a deep throw to Mooney that he just seemed to completely whiff on for whatever reason. And yet it doesn't bother him. And I have my working theory with Nick Foles is that for better or for worse, nothing that happens is predictive of what's going to happen. He can be great and then bad, and he can be bad and then great, because it doesn't really ruffle him when things go badly. How do they sustain the good and minimize the bad with a veteran quarterback?
Yeah, you know, you say that, and I agree. I think one of Nick's probably greatest assets as a leader, as a quarterback, is an extremely short memory. The anxiety of missing a throw, a guy like myself who was a backup most of my career, you get in there, you miss a throw and it's like, oh man, I missed that throw. That's going to come back to haunt me. You know, the coaches are going to see that. Obviously all the players know how stage missed that throw. He has like no memory. He's like a defensive back that gets burnt deep and just does like, well, I got burnt deep and let's go on to the next play. He moves on to the next play extremely well. I think that's a great mindset for a team. I think that's probably one of the things that with Trubisky, maybe people felt that pressure when he would miss a throw. The entire stadium, the entire coaching staff, the entire team was like, oh, Mitch missed that throw. He needs to make that throw. But with Foles, I feel like there's just no pressure there. And it's a great asset to have as a quarterback. It does allow you to be probably a little bit more streaky. As you said, he started off this game, it was ugly. I mean, I think the first maybe three third downs of the game, he missed open guys, the out route way over his head, another out route sort of behind a receiver, and he missed somebody else. But when it really mattered, he sort of made a couple of those clutch plays. There was about a 3rd and 9. He hit an out route to Mooney on the left sideline that picked up about 11 yards. That was a huge play in the ball game. I think having no memory of the bad plays is a great asset for this quarterback. And I think the team sort of feeds off that, you know, hey, that was a bad play. Next one, we'll get a drive going and our quarterback will make the play, because he does offset the bad plays with some really, really good plays, because he sort of has that sort of baller mentality and he does make some big, big throws. He has a lot of guts, and it does take a lot of guts to play quarterback.
One thing I think he does really well, too, is identify who's hot and know where his pressure release is. He's also tough enough and tall enough to wait, even if he's realizing, okay, there's pressure here. We may not have them blocked all the way, but whoever's leaking out of the backfield, because of that extra beat where he doesn't have to hurry the ball out, he's able to buy a little bit of time for whether it's a swing pass or a wheel, especially if he's throwing to a back, to give that guy a little bit more time to get a little further downfield.
All right, so we're going to get in the neat details of a one play in this ball game.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. All right,
good.
We're getting the X's and O's stuff. Tampa came up in this look where the linebackers were right up on the line of scrimmage. They were sort of inside the defensive end, sort of in the A gaps. They're tight in there. They brought the blitz on that play. When that occurs, if the running back doesn't block one of those linebackers and they free release out of the backfield, a defensive end, what they call it a change call. Other people call it something else. Some people call it pizza because it's your slice, my slice type of thing. But there's a name for it. And the defensive end is supposed to peel with the running back, okay? The offensive line then squeezes the line of scrimmage where the left tackle comes down, the right guard comes down to protect that inside, and sort of leaves that defensive end free, hoping that, obviously, that if he does blitz, the quarterback knows this and has time to get rid of the football. On this play, and Nick does this very well, he knows exactly where his hots are. He understands protections really well. He understands where there's going to be a free guy, but I'm going to sort of back up and sort of fade to my left away from that pressure, okay? On this play, he knew he had an issue when he saw that, when he felt the squeeze come down. Of course, he knew the squeeze was coming down based off of the look, based off of understanding protections. The defensive end took a step off the field and then tried to peel. But when you're even, you're leaving as an offensive player. And so Montgomery rolled right past him. Foles let the ball out early as he was getting some pressure from the other side, and ended up being a really big completion, what you call a rail route or a bullet route down that left sideline. That play takes a lot of experience. It's a weird feeling to be back there with the ball in your hands, knowing a defensive end could very possibly be completely free and unblocked, knowing your line's going to squeeze down. A veteran is comfortable in those situations and comfortable enough to, again, buy a little time and allow the play to develop and trust the offensive line that they're going to squeeze down those linebackers and that you'll be able to play, you'll make that play against that defensive end. That was a very big play in the ball game. Rarely do young guys make that play. If they do, it's like if Justin Herbert made that play, it would be out of just basically not sort of luck, but just sort of like, you know, he's just making a play. It's just one of those things that takes years and years to develop that comfortableness with something like that, where the line's going to squeeze down on that linebacker and you're going to leave the defensive end go. Nick was very, very comfortable with that and made a great throw and made a big play in that ball game.
Evaluate the Bears tight end play from what you see. I think we might have been wrong about Jimmy Graham, a guy who people in Green Bay said, look, he just can't play anymore and he can't move anymore. He's done exactly what the Bears said they overpaid him to do, and that was be the big one-on-one target in the end zone. I'm a little surprised that Cole Kmet isn't finding himself targeted in the passing game, that he's really been more of a true Y tight end inline blocker, and they've had some heavy personnel packages out there using all of their tight ends.
Well, and he's a good blocker, by the way. I want to give him credit. I was watching some of their blocking, and their issues in the running game, to me, don't seem to be the tight ends. Those guys get in there, they get after it. And I thought, you know, that's a key aspect of being that second tight end. Jimmy Graham is a red zone tight end. Kyle Rudolph in Minnesota, he's more of a red zone tight end too. Do they catch the ball in the middle of the field? Absolutely. But their real strength is their height, their unbelievable catch radius, as in the height they can go up to catch the football, the big body, the one-on-one type of stuff you can get down there. You know, safeties are, they're there to tackle a lot of times and play the middle of the field. They're not there to guard a 6'7" tight end. So that is his strength. But as far as him being a great tight end on the, you know, in the middle of the field, or when you're not in the red zone, I would say he's very average. Okay. He doesn't get a lot of separation. He doesn't have much suddenness to him. He just doesn't have that quick twitch. He did when he was younger, but you just sort of, you lose that when you get over 30. I remember working out over 30, I'm like, man, I just don't have that like sort of rabbit like reflex like I had when I was in my mid 20s working out in the off season. He does not have the quick twitch. He does have the big body. He understands coverages, but he's never really wide open. There's always usually somebody sort of draped on him. And so if the quarterback can put the ball in the right spot, that he gets just enough separation that he, you know, almost always does make the catch. So he's a good, he's an okay tight end in the field, but in the red zone, he's a legit weapon. And it's nice to have a big time weapon like that when you're trying to throw touchdown passes.
There was a back shoulder throw early to Allen Robinson that he just kind of like kicked out of his own hands, and they end up properly ruling it an interception. That's three times this season that somehow an Allen Robinson apparent catch has actually ended up not only not being a catch, but being an interception. Is this just a quirk, or is there something about the strength of his hands or what he is doing at the point of attack that isn't going well for him? I tend to dismiss this as just odd coincidence, because I don't know if anything like this is his actual issue.
Yeah, I think it is just a coincidence more than anything. I'm really impressed with him as a wide receiver. The way he runs routes, the way he gets separation, more often than not, he does catch the ball. He does stuff on the outside, like these one-on-one 50-50 balls that, you know, more often than not, I would say end up in a positive way for the Bears. He works. He has no issue working over the middle. In this football game, I don't know how many targets he had, but it's pretty obvious if he has a one-on-one, Nick Foles is trying to work Allen Robinson. Whether it's just hitches on the outside, if it's even, he's going to number 12 side. On that play, the back shoulder fade route, you really do want to throw it from the helmet up. You really want it high and outside, if anything, because then the DBs really can't catch it, and the receivers can catch it or nobody. If you do put it low, there is a chance where the ball can get batted around a little bit, which sort of happened in this situation. So it wasn't a terrible throw, but the interception would not have happened if he would have put that ball. They call it a back shoulder, not a back hip, for a reason. You do want to put it shoulder height and up, and that one was a little low. And I think just coincidence, the ball bounced around and Tampa came up with it. So I think Nick Foles is going to keep throwing the ball to number 12, as that is sort of his guy all over the field.
You mentioned how things change physically when you hit 30, and there's Tom Brady out there who's closer to my age, and he was kind of self-sacking when he realized that 52 was coming off the edge. He just decided he would kind of lay down and make sure that they didn't get a clean hit on him. I love the exchange. I don't know what he said to Khalil Mack, but it can't be fun to be 45 years old and have that Bears front seven coming at you like that.
I think he's 43, but he'll still be playing probably at 45. Tom is amazing. Drew Brees is amazing. I'm 42 years old. I came out with Drew Brees. I'm a year younger than Tom Brady. I've been out of football for 8 years. I might go on a walk today as my workout for like 30 minutes, right? I'm just blown away by the way these guys have continued to play good football. Not great football, but good football. Tom's on a good team. I think this Tampa team's a good team. They're going to be in the mix in the NFC. The Bears should be very, very happy that the defense is going to keep them in a lot of ball games this year. I think they're going to have some up and down quarterback play. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point Trubisky is back in there. You just never know whether it's an injury or Nick had a terrible half and they just say, we're going to go with somebody else because Nick is so streaky like that. You just don't know. But, defense is like rebounding. You can have a bad shooting night, but if you're a Dennis Rodman type, you can rebound every single game and you don't have to have a bad rebounding night. And defense is like that, and it keeps being a lot of football games if you can keep the opponent within striking distance. And obviously that I think that's one of the main reasons the Bears are where they are right now and got that win the other day.
Sage Rosenfels, thank you. As always, we'll talk again after the Bears play the Panthers.
Sounds good.
That's Sage Rosenfels breaking down Bears quarterbacking. Next up, Paul Charchian makes a sense of what it could be the mess of your fantasy team right now, because times are very, very odd in football and fantasy football. He's got waiver wire possibilities for you, so don't go anywhere. Charch is up next on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer.
That guy must really know what he's doing.
Chief Execution Officer at GuillotineLeagues.com.
He's appointing himself Judge, Jury, and Executioner.
He's not Judge, Judy, and Executioner.
He is.
Your guide through the waiver wire.
Hurry, hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Charge. Charge. With Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Paul Charchian's on Twitter at Paul Charchian. He's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, and you should check him out on our Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. It is a wild and wacky world in which you reside, Charge, because fantasy football having to keep up with just the craziness of actual football. What are the best leagues doing to remain flexible when it comes to rosters and having a reasonable approach to some of these postponements?
Yeah, the best thing every league should do is allow fantasy managers to designate a provisional player in the event that a game like tonight's game, which we still can't say with 100% certainty is going to happen, doesn't happen. You know, you shouldn't be penalizing somebody who started Jonnu Smith at tight end when it turns out he doesn't play. That, you know, that's not evaluating the skill of a fantasy manager. It's just bad luck. So you should be able to designate a backup that you would use, a provisional player, in the event a situation like this happens. That's the best thing. And then we've actually had, across the industry, technical issues related to these Tuesday games that just upset the apple cart on all the processes that these online services have. And we've had scoring system outages. We've had, you know, waiver wire problems. We've had all kinds of issues that have come up as well. And that's just kind of created a little extra chaos for fantasy leagues.
One thing we didn't expect was the Chase Claypool Travis Fulham show that unspooled in front of us today. That was I imagine this waiver wire week is the Chase Claypool Derby.
It really is. Claypool's awesome. I mean, breaking news. And, you know, for anybody who might be saying, well, you know, sure, you can tell me that now. We actually told you that in several times in past weeks, and not necessarily on this show, but through my Fantasy Football Weekly podcast. And even I'm going to peacock for just a minute here, Dan. We don't do it a lot, but I did tweet 2 hours before kickoff on Sunday, this is your last chance to go get Chase Claypool on the cheap. So we encourage you to follow me at Paul Charchian. And by the way, for Chase, as we look ahead, and what he might be able to do. First, schedule super easy for Pittsburgh. Over the next 6 weeks, they have one tough game at Baltimore. The other five are downright easy. A lot of this really hinges on Deontay Johnson, who's also really, really good, but hasn't been healthy since week 2. And that's, we've seen Claypool do so much more since then. You know, if Deontay Johnson, who they've already said is going to practice this week, when he comes back, that's going to mean there's just a plethora of great options for Ben Roethlisberger. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster, Johnson, Claypool, Eric Ebron. James Washington's probably getting left in the dust, even though he'd be a starter for a lot of teams in the NFL. And so I don't think we're going to have the explosive big game like we saw last week from Chase Claypool. But without doubt, super talented player. And we haven't even seen the best of what he can bring to the NFL yet. And if you just go through his highlights from college, it's just jaw-dropping what he was doing. So once again, the Steelers find gold at a position, you know, without having to spend a first-round pick, at a position that they just keep generating great players in.
Meanwhile, there's an emerging running back option in your backyard with the injury to Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook knocked out of last week's game with a groin injury. They've got the Falcons this week and then a bye, so that there's no chance he plays this week, none. And coming out of the bye, in all probability, Cook will be back. So it's just a one-week option for Alexander Mattison, but it's a pretty good week. Falcons are a bad defense, and they're especially vulnerable to pass-catching backs, and they will throw to Mattison. So he will probably be a top 15 running back this week in my rankings, roughly. And then after that, he goes back to the bench. So we don't overpay to get Alexander Mattison for just 1 week. But if you've already got him, this will be the week to start him.
So the Dak Prescott injury means that there are ramifications at the quarterback position, not just with the Cowboys, but looking at anybody who had him and now what the other options are. So that threw quite a wrench into the works.
Yeah, for sure. For Dalton, I mean, coming off the bench, he looked great. Only threw two incompletions the entire game, rallied his team to a come-from-behind victory. And when you look going forward, six legitimate receiving options for Dalton when he goes back to pass, right? So you've got CeeDee Lamb, who's in the conversation for Rookie of the Year, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup. They've got Cedric Wilson, who's been out of nowhere, has been a valuable contributor. They've got Dalton Schultz as their tight end. He's been good. They can throw to their running back, Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, it's a plethora of options for Andy Dalton. And the schedule's very favorable for the rest of the year. They only have two tough games left all season. Andy Dalton is going to be a high-quality fantasy starting quarterback most of the rest of the year in a way that we never saw him in Cincinnati, when mostly he just had A.J. Green to throw to. It's just, there's just so many great options for him. I can't imagine him failing here.
Meanwhile, I don't know how, when all is said and done, we're going to remember Ryan Fitzpatrick. What an odd career he's had with yes. So many teams and so many moments of statistical explosiveness, yet never seems to be considered among the better quarterbacks and probably shouldn't. How long do you go with him knowing that at some point the record may dictate their turn to the future?
Right. So Mike Gesicki, their starting tight end, answered that yesterday. He said, and this is a bold statement, knowing that the team put the fifth overall pick on Tua. Mike Gesicki said to the media, he wants to finish his career with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, that's a bold statement, right? So Mike Gesicki's in his third season. So yeah, it's what Ryan Fitzpatrick has done, when everything is said and done, Dan, he's going to have numbers that are going to be the equivalent of Hall of Famers, but he will never played for any one team for more than 3 years. It's we've never seen anything quite like what Ryan Fitzpatrick is doing. And part of what we love about him, and I adore Ryan Fitzpatrick, Dan, it's the way he plays. He's so gritty. He's so tough. He's clearly having fun. He lets the bad plays just wash over him. And then the next thing you know, that horribly ugly interception is a beautifully thrown bomb two plays later for a touchdown. It's a remarkable turn of events for Ryan Fitzpatrick in his career. And by the way, this week it's the Jets. It's a revenge game. Remember all the turmoil? Well, yeah, they're all revenge games for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right, against any team, it's a revenge game for him because he played for them, right?
That's right. All the turmoil, he had that one great season with the Jets, and then they wouldn't pay him, and he held out, and he held out, and he held out, and they finally buckled and paid him. And then he was no good with the Jets. And then after he made all that money, and yeah, it's such a great story for Fitzpatrick. And I, at this point, I mean, the Dolphins are playoff viable. They're playing to win games still. So Tua stays on the bench, and Fitzpatrick is a top 10 fantasy scoring quarterback right now.
Such a unique player. And as I look at profootballreference.com, when they do the statistical comps, players whose career was of similar quality and shape statistically, some of these names are just like chef's kiss perfect. John Kitna, Kerry Collins, Jim Harbaugh, Billy Kilmer, Brad Johnson, Chris Chandler, Joe Ferguson, Jim Plunkett, Archie Manning.
Wow.
Isn't that like, you can feel that, right? You can totally feel those comps.
You really can. In many cases, journeymen, but still players who experienced a lot of success and were in the league a long time. You know, like John Kitna played with a bunch of different teams and was ultimately a good quarterback. And yeah, those are really good comps for guys that moved around a lot, but were always ultimately really good. Those are good comps. By the way, awesome site, Pro Football Reference. So much good stuff there.
Are there any Bears on your list as stacking up as viable possibilities against Carolina?
Well, you always got to pick your spots, and normally against Carolina, the worst run defense in the league, giving up two rushing touchdowns per game, we fantasy guys always go to the backup running back because the backup running backs usually get the second of the two rushing touchdowns. I can't do that with Chicago, can I? I think we'll just
unless Cordarrelle Patterson is that guy.
Maybe that'll be the case. Maybe this is the one time you can start Cordarrelle Patterson. But if not now, when for David Montgomery? This is going to be the best opportunity he will see all season. This is what you wait. You're waiting for Carolina to come around on the schedule for your running back. So that'll be the most enticing play of the week for sure. Will be David Montgomery.
The other story is, and Bears fans are wondering, what the hell got into Mike Davis? That the Bears were, when they brought him in, they were happy to have him, and they said, okay, here's another name in the running back room, and then they end up having to get rid of him so they can end up with a draft pick to show for it just because of the timing of it, and he's been terrific.
He's been awesome. Almost 5 yards per carry, and the amazing thing is that they're basically just letting him do everything Christian McCaffrey did. They threw to him 10 times last week to Mike Davis. He caught 9 of them. The week before that, they threw to him 6 times. He caught 5. The week before that, 9 times. He caught 8. The week before that, 8 times, and he caught 8. I mean, it's just they've just let him go run the Christian McCaffrey routes, do all the things they would have done with McCaffrey, and it's all working. He's been fantastic. So, yeah, I don't think anybody thought that he would just plug in the way that he has. But he looks good. He runs determined, and he's got a little spring in his step. Turns out he's a pretty darn good player. And honestly, if he were still a Bear, I gotta believe he'd be the best running back on roster.
Wow, Paul Charchian.
Don't you think?
I mean, you know,
is that outlandish?
Well, I would like to give me a couple games of Montgomery with Foles against defenses that aren't the Bucs front seven and the Colts front seven before I make that
fair.
Judgment.
All right, that's
fair. Those are a couple
those
of kick-ass defenses.
Yes.
So where are we in the guillotine league life cycle right now, seeing that obviously the remaining rosters are now just laden with high-end talent already?
That's true. So we started the season with 17 teams. Now we're down to 12. Although you can still join a new league and it'll be a 12 team league. So the teams that are left are starting to get really good rosters, which you're referring to, and the teams are getting cut. Are cutting really, really good players because these are good teams. And so now the bye weeks hit, and a lot of times the bye weeks end up generating bye week players that are good players that end up, you know, those teams just don't survive because they didn't have, you know, they didn't have adequate depth. So guys like Devontae Adams hitting the waiver wire right now. Deontay Johnson is going to hit the waiver wire. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to hit the waiver wire. Amari Cooper, with all the scoring that came out of that Dallas game, Amari Cooper, 2 catches and 23 yards. So, yeah, there's a ton of talent hitting the waiver wire this week in the guillotine leagues.
Charge, thanks as always. We'll talk next week.
You're the best. Talk to you in a week. Bye-bye.
That is Paul Charchian at guillotineleagues.com is one of his credits, and he really helped popularize that format. That has been his thing. You should follow him on Twitter at Paul Charchian. When we come back, some major baseball news just breaking in the last little while that is going to affect tonight's NLCS game, and not in a good way for the Dodgers. We'll bring that to you next on The Score.
0-2. Back to Melanson, over him to the shortstop, Swanson. Braves take game one. A final of 5-1. The starter Freed, outstanding. They popped 3 home runs. The go-ahead shot, Austin Riley, in the top of the ninth.
Braves have a great lineup. You know, it's somewhat similar to Padres. You know, 1-9, they can kind of beat you. So there's no real secret to it. You just try to make good pitches. You know, I think Acuna and Freddie obviously at the top, you know, really get them going. But, I mean, everybody's really swinging the bats well for them through Ozuna, Darno, all those guys. So it's definitely a good matchup for us, and, you know, it'll be a good challenge.
That was Fox's call of the Game 1 victory in the NLCS by the Atlanta Braves over the favored L.A. Dodgers. And that was Clayton Kershaw speaking yesterday pregame. He sounded all ready to go, and as it turns out, he's not. Clayton Kershaw has been scratched from his Game 2 start tonight with back issues. They're calling it back spasms, but you always wonder what the what the bad omen is there when you start talking about somebody with a history of back issues and how long they can linger and the stress that a pitcher, especially an older veteran, puts on his back. That means that after they were scrambling around in their bullpen last night, getting just five innings out of Walker Buehler, the fact that you're not getting any innings from Kershaw at all in games one and two. Instead, Tony Gonsolin is going to start NLCS game two because Clayton Kershaw scratched with back spasms. And as we were talking about earlier on in the show with Craig Calcaterra, the bullpen questions, you know, back end bullpen questions, building it from the back to the front, now everything changes, and now there might be some outside the box thinking if you've got to try to put a critical game to start together and hope that maybe your bats can help slug you to a victory to take some pressure on this pitching staff that is under a great deal of pressure right now. But that's bad news for the Dodgers, and it's just unfortunate because this in this season of seasons when they were clearly, without a doubt, the best team in baseball, the best constructed team before the season began and then living up to it with just tearing through their regular season schedule, for it to be potentially undone by something like this is unfortunate for them. You know, Walker Buehler had the blister issue, and now Clayton Kershaw. Tony Gonsolin, by the way, hasn't pitched in 17 days. So this is a big ask for him tonight. Something certainly to keep an eye on. We look forward to doing transition. And Mark Grody has the helm of the Lawrence Holmes Show today, which I will, by the way, I'm going to be working double shifts Thursday and Friday, just sticking around for the extended dance mix and doing 5 hours with you on both Thursday and Friday with some special guests. But Mark Grody has it today, and we are going to talk to him transitionally next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.